You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. March. Hope you had a good weekend, wherever you are. This morning's off to a little bit different step. Colleen's sick, so she's going to hang out today. Going to go back to sleep now first, though. Anyway, so that's going on. And today, kind of a big day. Well, for me anyway. Maybe not for you, but for me. I got an email yesterday from General Tony Zinni. Hey Mac, I can come on tomorrow. So I said, not only yes, but hell yes. So anyway, I'll play you a little audio, and this is going to kind of, it'll show you how, Iwo Jima got on my radar as a young captain. So, I was probably, like most captains in the Marine Corps, bombing along, reading here and there. And then I crossed paths with Colonel Zinni in 1990, and he was talking about the Battle of Iwo Jima in a way that I hadn't yet to hear anybody talk about it. And so it kind of got me interested, and also gave some advice that day, and I'll ask him about it today, but about – when you read, how to focus your reading. And he said something that I thought was pretty good, and I kind of took it to heart, and and that is pick a battle and learn everything you can learn about it, and in that way you'll learn more about your craft than you will learning a little bit about your about a bunch of different things. So. So I'm excited. I'm excited today, because I always thought, like, God, it'd be really cool to be really cool to talk to General Zinni about Iwo Jima, because he's passionate about it. And so, I don't know if I should play the audio when he gets on to hear his reaction to it, or if I should play it now and get it out of the way so I don't mess up my time with him. But I think it'd kind of be interesting to hear him react to the audio, so I'll probably save it and let him explain what he was talking about. And he's talking about maneuver warfare, which at the time was a big issue in the Marine Corps. General Gray had asked the Marine Corps to go ahead and embrace this concept of maneuver warfare, and it was different than the way we had historically fought. Marine Corps, you know, pretty much a straight line organization. We're going to do it two ways. We're going to either we're going to be two up and one back, or one up and two back, and we're going straight to them, or we're going to do some kind of envelopment. That's the way we do it. And so, so tactically, it was kind of a straight ahead, very plain spoken, this is how we do it kind of organization. And, you know, I think General Gray, much to his credit, he is the father of the modern day Marine Corps, just as General Jern, I would tell you, is the father of the 20th century Marine Corps and what it became, the foundation that he laid. And so General Gray, very much for the late 20th century and the 21st century. So anyway, we'll talk about, General Zinni going to join us today. Alex Hollings, who normally joins us on Mondays, every other Monday, he'll join us on Wednesday. You're going to get to meet a mass sergeant who sent me an email about his struggle with PTSD. You're going to get a chance to meet him tomorrow, and so you get a chance, and we'll talk about his struggle and whatnot. So, and then over the weekend, what I did, I had a bunch of work to do for the whole post-traumatic winning presentation. So the way what's happened with it is we did a class for the 2nd Marine Division. And then since then, I've been doing smaller things, you know, kind of preaching the gospel and selling it to leaders and whatnot. And so that's become an executive summary kind of a thing. But now I'm going to do the whole thing again. So you got, and it's changed a little bit. So I had to sit down with it and put it not only back into the bigger class format, but also write a script for it. Yeah, because it needs a script. It's that because there's so many great points in it that if you don't have a script and you think you're going to do it from memory, it doesn't turn out so well. It doesn't turn out so well because, like I said, when you do it over and over and you know the things that have to get punched in it, the points that have to be made, if you leave them to fiat or some kind of very loose outline, what happens is they don't get made. So redid the class, made sure that the new stuff that's in it, and it's all powerful stuff. It's kind of interesting when you think about a certain subject, and all of a sudden you connect it with something you've seen, a piece of video or a piece of audio that's really powerful. And instead of standing there lecturing, you can maybe run 90 seconds of video and say, that's really powerful for the audience to see, and then talk about that. So there's a number of things like that that went in there, and then a few tweaks to it. So did that, and then began creating the script for it. And the script is actually another PowerPoint document, and it is a it's kind of interesting in that the it needs pictures, and it's an outline. It's an outline more than anything else, right? And then from that script outline, so it's a bulletized outline, right? And if you can close your eyes and picture this, on a sheet of paper, you have a grid, right? Three boxes across the top, three in the middle, three on the bottom. And then in each one of those grids, there's a slide, and there's bullets underneath the slide that say, okay, these are the points. And then from that, you would create a script in prose, right? Words. So, that's what we're doing today. So, anywho, good morning. Thanks for making All Marine Radio part of your day. Big day here on the program as we get ready to talk Iwajima with General Tony Zinni, United States Marine Corps retired. And he's funny. He said he and General Van Riper, when he was the commanding officer of the 3rd Marine, of the 3rd Marine Division, of the 9th Marine Regiment, General Van Riper, who's a friend of his, was chief of staff of the 3rd Marine Division, and they went over to Iwo Jima, he said, on a regular basis. He said, I have about 50,000 pounds of sand from that place. So you'll hear that audio of him talking about that. So good morning to you. Thanks for making us part of your morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. It's dedicated to Jack Riley, who sent me a really nice email the other day. And he a friend of Eugene Sledge. And I've been kind of doing a little research about Sledge and listened to a second book that he wrote about his life, the occupation of China, that the 5th Marine Regiment was a part of as part of the 1st Marine Division. And then coming back and just the whole notion of we don't talk about it has been in my head. We don't talk about it. And, you know, Grandpa was in the Second World War. He came home. He never said a word. Right. And Uncle Larry, he was in Vietnam. He never said a word. So I guess that's the way you do it. Right. Well, Sledge was smarter than most. And so as a result, what he did was he wrote about it. And I was watching an interview. I think I said this on Friday, but I'll say it again. What would be the book with the old breed was him getting up in the middle of the night and writing in detail about his nightmares. He started writing about them as a way to deal with them because he didn't talk about that stuff. And then, in like oddity of oddities, his wife began to type him. Now, again, we don't talk about that stuff, right? And we certainly don't talk to our wives about it. So Sledge is like counter, he's swimming upstream the whole time. She, in an interview, I'll find this clip, but she says in an interview, you know, as I was typing him, we would be reading these things, and their sons, too. So the book's written in 1980, so his sons, you know, would have been adults at the time. So let's just say she's typing it in the 70s at some point. If he came home and got married and they had kids, so he comes home in 1946. Let's say his kids are born between 50 and 60. He has two sons. That wouldn't, let's say, if they're 50 in 1980, they're 30. So they're probably be in their 20s, early to late 20s in the 70s. So they're reading this, and his wife's typing it. And so Sledge is like, he couldn't, right? You can't talk about it. You know, so he wrote about it, and then his wife's typing it. And then she at some point says, this is very good. You should think about having this published. And that is the origin of With the Old Breed, right? Eugene Sledge doing things that you weren't supposed to do. One is talk about it. He wrote. One is, you know, take your spouse there. He did. And his kids went there too. And so, interesting. Maybe we should all write. So this is a, Jack Riley wrote, he'd been listening, and he wrote me a nice email. He and Sledge are both Alabama Marines and became friends. And it's dedicated to an email I got from Jack Riley. And again, this is, it's this ongoing kind of effort to come to grips with this experience that we have as Marines, as veterans, and kind of sorting it out, you know. Maybe we should all write, because you get a pass, you get a literary pass, but if you just want to talk about it, like, yeah, you're not supposed to do that. So this is to encourage everybody to write, and as a thank you to Jack Riley for a nice email relative to Eugene B. Sledge, a fellow Alabama Marine.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
On the West Coast on a Monday, the 4th day of March. Take a trip around the Marine Corps. I talked to my nephew that's at OCS now. He's in his 9th week. Yeah. How fired up is he? Got the highest grade in his platoon on his little, they call it SULI 1 or 2. I can't remember which one it was. Small unit leader exercise. Been going on forever. So he was fired up. Johnny boy. So congratulations to him. So, and it's pretty cool. My cousin, his mom, never been to D.C. in her life. So she's going to get a chance to go. Anyhow, currently in Quantico, where my nephew's at OCS, crushing it, I think. It is cloudy and 38. At Camp Lejeune, further to the south, they've cooled off. Clouds at 48. Granbury, Texas, clouds at 24. What the hell, man? 29 Palms, sunny in 48. Pendleton, clouds in 52. Now, that's kind of closer to normal, except it's going to rain here all week. In Okinawa, Japan, dark cloudy in 62. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark cloudy in 64. So they've warmed up a little bit. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, they've warmed up a little bit. Clear, dark, and 56. At the home of Almarin Radio in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 55 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for a high of only 61 today. 66 tomorrow. Wednesday, 61 and rain. It continues, man. It is ridiculous. We become Seattle, for God's sakes. Yeah. What's next? Right? When Harry Met Sally's going to bust out? Yeah, if I look at the monthly forecast, just to see, it's ridiculous. We hit 70 for 3 days and then go back into the 60s for all of March. Honestly, that doesn't happen in Southern California. Yeah. And every day is below 65, except for the second week, late in the second week, they're predicting into the 70s for 1, 2, 3 whole days. Yeah. Global warming, baby. It's here. Yeah. You have it firsthand. Mike McNamara reporting on global warming. Biggest threat to the nation. That's right. That's right. Deal with it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines, as we always do, and then head up towards the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, the retired Marine Corps General Anthony Zinni, Anthony C. Zinni, is going to join us. He is a huge fan of the Battle of Iwo Jima. And so that's how I kind of first got interested in it. I'd read about it, and you know, Iwo Jima was this fascinating place, right? But you know, there was no internet, so like all the things that you know, all the things you could do now with research, you didn't do before. You bought books and you looked at pictures in books. Yeah, that's how you did it. And so he, you know, was talking about Iwo Jima, and one of the reasons that I got interested is because of the things that he said. So he will join us at the top of the hour, and we'll talk Iwo Jima stuff. So excited to do that, and thankful to him for coming on and doing that. So I first met him probably been a couple years later. He was in Stuttgart, I think working for NATO, and we called him to ask him about why something changed while he was at the basic school. And he told us. Yeah, I can tell you about that. And so it was pretty interesting. Myself and another captain by the name of Scott Sobka. And then since then, our paths have crossed on a few occasions. And he's always very gracious. So I'm thankful for that. And again, when I saw him that night, he was the... For me, I call him the Burning Bush. He was what I thought an officer should be. And I will tell you this, I mean, in the aftermath of all that, you know, I think if you listen to the program, you understand the sentiment that I have and a lot of people have about the war in Iraq. And he was one of the few people that stood up and said, you know, we don't need to do this. We shouldn't do this. And he was vocal about it. And I think that he saw that as his, you know, responsibility as a former CENTCOM commander and standing up. So anyway, we will take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
took some news headlines. Email. Mac, it's interesting to hear you talk about post-traumatic winning. Question. What's the biggest thing you've learned since you started doing it? That is an interesting question. I'd have to think about that. Actually, I'd probably have to go through the script. Yeah, you don't want me to do that. But what's the biggest thing I've learned? Well, I would probably say, right, just what we were talking about today. We have this inside of us, this kind of stereotype that we all, I think, struggle with, and that is, you're not supposed to talk about it. That guys who handled it didn't talk about it. And I think that it's been very interesting to kind of think about that and explore it. And then all of a sudden you have these kind of blinding flashes of obvious. Like, wait a minute. Like, how did that happen? Like, you read about Eugene Sledge and you see what he went through in it's so well done in the Pacific. You read the book, it's even more vibrant. And he lives in this terrible, violent world. Well, how does he deal with it? Well, he struggled. And then he wrote. And then, you know, you're like, wow, okay, so he and Manchester, they were tricky. So, I mean, I've talked about this last few weeks, but that's probably, and this whole notion of you can't talk to your wife about it, you know? And so, and the absurd nature, because we need to talk about it with, especially with that, your spouse, right? So, yeah, I would probably say that that's a part of me since I first did this publicly in January. The thing that's evolved as it kind of sits in the agitating cycle of the washing machine that is my brain, I would tell you that that's, for me, the thing that's changed most. We need a closer relationship with our spouse. And what tends to happen because of this stereotype we have in our head that I can't take you there, that I'm somehow being a man by protecting you. And then because of my isolation and the way it affects my behavior, I just punish the living hell out of you. Right? And that's how we do it. And so you get to deal with all the fallout from it, but I can't take you there because I'm being a man. That's what we do. And we desperately need, dare I say, greater intimacy in that relationship. We need her to know. We need her to know us better. We need her to know when to squeeze our hand. You know, we need her to know when to say, come on, you're coming with me today, right? You're going to be my little errand boy. And just take us someplace away from where we're at. We need that. But we fight somebody else helping us, which is a kind of, and then it's interesting to talk to other veterans about it. I mean, Ken Rogers, very much the same vein as Eugene Sledge. I mean, struggles with his for years. And then goes back to school to become a writer and to write about it, to learn how to write about it, to learn how to express it. So he's going to become Manchester, right, Sledge, and he's going to deal with it, right, an honorable way, in a literary way. And then he produces, he and his second wife, Betty, and you hear Ken talk. You know, he said, I knew she wasn't going to stick around if I didn't get my act together. And so he got his act together, and so he's kind of gone down a very similar road. So that's probably the thing that I've learned the most. Which is like 180 degrees out from where, you know, from the going in proposition. So it is a bit crazy. The Okinawans are at it again. It's very interesting to hear Grant Newsham talk about the whole notion of why that whole thing, you know, even gets going. That for whatever reason, Don Rumsfeld decided to have a meeting with, you know, Okinawa's governor as opposed to federal, you know, he's a federal officer, right? So, anyway, headline is why Okinawa's governor says U.S. Marine Air Base should move after referendum rejection. The governor of Okinawa in southern Japan pushed Friday for three-way talks involving his prefecture, the central government, and the United States on what steps to take following a referendum that rejected a relocation plan for an American military base. What? The referendum is not legally binding, but Governor Denny Tamaki stressed that it must be respected as indicating the will of the people of Okinawa. He said the dialogue is key to reaching a solution. Quote, the democracy of Japan government is now being tested, Tamaki told reporters after a meeting with Prime Minister Abe and U.S. Mission Chief Joseph Young in Tokyo. Tamaki said he delivered a letter for President Donald Trump about the referendum. He did not elaborate on what might be discussed in the three-way talks, but stressed the result of the referendum speak for everything. Sunday's vote showed that 72% of Okinawans opposed the plan for the Marine Air Base being built on a landfill in coastal Hinoko. The plan, decades in the making, calls for Hinoko to replace another base in Okinawa's Futima area, a crowded residential area that has long been criticized as noisy and dangerous. Many residents want the base moved completely off Okinawa. Prime Minister Abe has repeatedly said the Hinoko base won't be changed, but Tamaki said Abe did not reject the referendum outright or his request for more dialogue. So that in the news today. Fierce fighting, according to reporters, as U.S.-backed forces advance on the last Syrian territory controlled by ISIS. Now, if you try to find this city, right, so it's Syria's Deir ez-Zor province. So you go to your Google Earth event, and you go ahead and you... Hold on. You fire that up, which I just did. And then you do a search. And you see if it comes up. Because sometimes this stuff doesn't come up. Whoever's writing the article. So, alright, for those of us familiar with Iraq, right, you head out the Euphrates River, you hit the border towns of where the train station at Al Qaim, the city called Husayba right at the border of Iraq and Syria. You keep going down the valley. Let's see, let me get my ruler out. I don't know if I can find the city, because the cities that they quote are not very easy to find. The city of Baghouz, B-A-G-H-O-U-Z. That is one of the last remnants of ISIS that have been trapped and have not surrendered are currently fighting. Give me a second here. Boom, it worked. Well, I don't know that it worked yet, but couldn't understand this location. So that's what I mean. If there's anything close to it. There is not. Anyway, it's between the border and Raqqa. That's essentially the area that we're talking about. And there's a city there called Bakus. Columns of black smoke billowed from the last piece of territory held by Islamic State militants on Sunday as U.S.-backed fighters pounded the area with artillery fire and occasional airstrikes. Commanders of the Kurdish-led fighters known as the Syrian Defense Forces said fierce clashes were taking place as they advanced towards the last speck of land controlled by the Islamic State group. Militants fought back with snipers, suicide bombs, and booby traps. Fire still smoldered from the area and ammunition exploded time and again. A day after an airstrike hit a building, setting off a huge blast. It must have been the main weapons depot, said Sefkin, a Syrian Defense Force commander, using only his nom de guerre. The U.S.-backed forces resumed an offensive to recapture the tiny area in the village of Bakus in eastern Syria on Friday night after a two-week pause to allow for evacuation of civilians from the area. Retaking the sliver of land would be a milestone in the devastating four-year campaign to end ISIS's self-proclaimed Islamic caliphate that once straddled the vast territories of in Iraq and Syria. U.S.-backed fighters say ISIS militants are mostly hiding underground in tunnels. The question is, how many of them have left, and what happens next? So, this is just winding it down. In a story that has been in the news for a while and pretty disturbing, and again, this is one of the stories that have kept special forces, you know, in the news. Hearing aids postponed for two Navy SEALs and two Marine Raiders in the death of Green Beret Staff Sergeant. An Article 32 hearing for two Navy SEALs and two Marine Raiders who faced murder and related charges in the strangulation death of a Green Beret in Mali last year has been postponed. The hearing was scheduled for March 6th, which would be Wednesday, but it has been postponed with no further explanation or date specified by the Navy Region Mid-Atlantic Judge Advocate General, which oversees the proceeding. And this is the case of the strangulation death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar in Mali. So this is a disturbing case that again has seen special forces being hauled in front of the national media for another not so good reason. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, border wall casts a long shadow over the fiscal year 2020 defense budget. And that's not all. Even before it arrives, President Trump's defense budget proposal is already taking flak from lawmakers over the bookkeeping gimmickry that's likely to accompany it. So, again, in case you haven't noticed, with the House flipping the president is going to be investigated for the next few years till the election. And that's simply the way it's going to be. And his budget will get now. What you'll have is instead of the minority in the, you know, having a voice and reading it, there'll be hearings about all this stuff. So divided government, nice. Number two, we're not winning counterterrorism war in Salah. In Salah. U.S. military leader in Africa says, I would tell you at this time we are not winning, Air Force Major General Marcus Hicks, the head of U.S. Special Operations Command, said Thursday on the sidelines of Flintlock, a major U.S.-led military exercise in the region. How about that? A little bit of frank, discussion. The exercise involves about 2,000 commandos from more than 30 African and Western countries. Quote, what we fight against, what we see every day is like a toxin. A lieutenant colonel from the continent said, so this would be from the African continent. I do not know what the terrorists want from us. The UN said last week that more than 100,000 people in Burkina Faso have been displaced by violence, and the country's education minister has said more than 150,000 children are not going to school because of the jihadist threat. The threat is growing, U.S. Ambassador to Burkina Faso Andrew Young told VOA in an interview. We're in a tough fight, and the fight is getting harder. Pretty easy to destabilize a country. Number three story. Space Force to cost $2 billion, which will include 15,000 personnel in the first 5 years. That's new spending. So that has been widely kicked around. The people involved in the Space Force, we'll see what they yank out of the Air Force. Will, you know, as it stands up, it'll be administered like the Department of Navy contains the Marine Corps and the Navy, the United States Navy. The Department of the Air Force would include the Space Force and the United States Air Force. So we shall see. Film at 11. Number four, major military exercise in South Korea will end, according to a report. Now, these exercises have been going on forever, right? Trump administration is set to announce the end of large-scale drills the U.S. military conducts with South Korea every spring. According to a news report, two U.S. defense officials told NBC News on Friday about the impending announcement. Their report indicates that the two drills in question, which are referred to as Key Resolve and Full Eagle, predecessor was Team Spirit, will eventually be replaced with smaller-scale training exercises tailored to specific missions. The Pentagon had announced in November that the U.S. was still scheduled to participate in Full Eagle, though in a diminished capacity. That decision appears to have been canceled altogether, opting to end these drills with South Korea as part of President Donald Trump's plan to foster a more positive relationship with North Korea. And in return, we would get what? Number five, DOD is rethinking what defines a major aviation accident. The Pentagon is considering revising in the dollar amounts and damage levels that qualify an aircraft accident as a major mishap to better reflect the expertise of repairing advanced jets, but such changes could lead to less visibility into the actual state of aviation safety, government watchdogs cautioned. It would seem to me that if you have a dollar threshold and your aircraft cost goes through the roof, then you might want to adjust that as they get more expensive, right? That's me, the economist. I'm not an expert, right? I just play one on the radio, but that would seem because you could blow out a tire on an F-35, the thing might be over $1 million. And so you're going to trigger your threshold for a class one, you know, aviation accident. I think it should be adjusted for inflation, personally. All right. Couple of more notes. Indian and Pakistani forces continue their deadly artillery fire in Kashmir. Both sides accuse each other of initiating the shelling. So, again, they fight over the Himalayan territory that is known as Kashmir. Have been doing that forever. All right, so anyway. All right, that is a look at your news. We're going to take a break when we come back. General Anthony C. Zinni, United States Marine Corps retired, joins us next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. We're going to talk Iwo Jima with, I don't know if he's an expert. I don't know if he'd call himself an expert, but somebody pretty well read, somebody who's been on the island, so we'll talk about it with him. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.